Appreciate those words, Brother Barrett.
Sure, brother. Wonderful.
Brother Reggie died the other morning. I went home, but it was all so fresh. Seeing him departed, gone. I knew that when this hour came, I'd have a hard time. Yeah. I don't know if hardly anybody, there are a few people that is as close to me as this dear brother. He and I go so far, so deep. We're sort of tied to him. We're brothers. So when I got home from the hospital, I went ahead and wrote down some things I wanted to make sure to say, lest I lose it. Do you know what I'm talking about? And I love this man. I love his family. Juanita, I'm going to miss him just like the family. It's just going to be a long ordeal for us to heal. But I wrote down what I wanted to say about Brother Reggie while it was still fresh. And I want to sort of tell you a story of my experience. You know, we have four accounts of the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, have different witnesses, but all saying the same thing, but seeing it from a little different direction. And my witness about the Brother Reggie and him being a Christian might be a little bit different from some of you, what you saw and what you know of him. But I wrote down what I wanted to say about, from my standpoint, of what I saw and the salvation of Reggie Roy. So forgive me if I read a little bit. I wrote it down so I could read it, and if I lose it, I can pick up where I left. I knew Charles Reagan Roy for over 50 years, probably 54. I knew him before he became a Christian. Got to know him when he was about 14 or 15 years of age. Boy, what a character. If you knew him back then, you knew what I'm talking about. Then I knew him after he became a Christian. This man is quite a character, I'm telling you.
Sure.
He was unique. He could joke. He knew how to pull for the right football team in the state.
I don't know about that.
He knew how to take a ribbon. He knew how to be serious. And when he preached, you can rest assured it had been prayed over, studied over, and well prepared. How many times right here in this little church have I heard a five-point sermon outline, and about 15 minutes until the hour was over with, he was on the second part. And he finished them out, believe you me, back in those days. But he's quite a character. He was a very humorous man when he wanted to be. And he could take teasing. I remember the brethren used to make fun of Reggie because he's always slim and slender. And someone made a remark that he was the only person they knew that only had one stripe on his pajamas. And he could take it. He could give it back. But Reggie was such a precious brother. And I remember my wife and I was at a little country restaurant this last couple of days ago. And the chief of police came in. He used to be the chief of Carville back in those days. And I told my wife a story about this chief in Carville. And somebody called him and said there was some hollering going on in the woods up there around Cannon Hill, over there close to the cotton gin. And they were afraid somebody was getting hurt or something was wrong. And so he had to go up and investigate. And the dear friend of ours, Brother Johnny Cantrell, was with him and had to meet them. He come running out of the woods when the chief came up. And said, Chief, won't know what was going on. And he said, it's me and Reggie over here. He says, oh, that was just Brother Reggie praying. Y'all give him a drift.
Yep.
Reggie was a praying man, a studying man, a good man, quite a unique man. He's quite a character, quite a person. But let me tell you what I know about Reggie Roy coming to be a Christian. When I say that, a lover of Jesus Christ. Paul said something about this. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha.
Yep.
That's a strong statement.
Yep.
And when I say that Reggie Roy, what I know about him becoming a Christian, becoming a lover of Jesus Christ, I want to share with you what I know about his saving experience. I went to work at Uniroyal Rubber Plant for a couple of months around the year 1990, 1971 or 72. I can't remember anymore. And I needed transportation to get to and from work there. And it so worked out that I was in the carpool with Reggie. Boy, you ought to have been in there before he got saved. While in the carpool, questions would come up about the Bible, and we would discuss the questions. I and several others at the plant began to witness about the Lord Jesus Christ, and what surprised me was Reggie would listen. When I would talk to him and read the Bible to him, Reggie would look to me in those sharp, beady eyes of his, and he could look at you from one eye to the other to check you out to see if you were telling the truth. He would listen. And during the shift work at the plant, he would come to me and I would tell him about forgiveness of sin. And I made sure I told Brother Reggie that forgiveness of sin in Jesus Christ meant all manner of sin. There was nothing he'd ever done that Jesus Christ couldn't forgive him of. So I told him about the forgiveness of sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. I would read to him from my little New Testament about the wrath of God. And I told him about the love of God and the saving work of Calvary. And he listened. Then he'd get on his tugger and drive around the plant and go about his work. And then he would come back for more. It was shocking. If you knew this man before he was saved, you understand why it was so shocking that he'd come back to hear the Bible and hear this little preacher speak something, or one of his co-workers. We have some here that witnessed to him before he was saved. It was shocking how he began to receive the gospel and listen to it. This went on for several weeks. And then one day about midday at work, Reggie came to me where I was working, all excited. He was trembling and in tears, something I've never seen before in that man. And I asked Reggie, what was wrong? And he said, God just saved me. Now, we was at the rubber plant working. He said, Jesus Christ just came to me in the middle of the plant, and I got on my knees and received him as my Lord and my Savior. That's what the man told me. I was bewildered. I looked like I'd be excited, but I was dumbfounded. It was not something I had done or any co-worker had done. God was working in Reggie and doing something to him. And all this witnessing and all this word was just God's means of the great gospel to draw a sinner to Jesus Christ. And Reggie says, I received the Lord and he saved me right out there on my knees in the rubber plant. I told him, I was shook up, I didn't know what to say. I told him to go tell others what had happened. He took off on his tugger crying and rejoicing. Some of you here that worked there at that time know what happened. You saw it yourself. A few minutes passed and here come Brother Johnny Cantrell, gone on to be with the Lord. He thought I had done something to Reggie. He didn't understand. He said, what's happened to Reggie? He's coming out there saying the Lord has saved him and changed his life. And he's crying and excited. And he's telling everybody. He said, what happened? And I told Johnny what had happened. It was quite a story. He went throughout the plant from station to station, crying, saying that Jesus Christ just saved him. And it spread all over the plant. I mean, that was a noise abroad in that plant. Everybody knew Reggie. He was into everything from bookies to poo, shark, and you name it. He was doing everything. And I say that not to magnify sin, but to tell you what a man he was. Nothing Reggie wouldn't do. I changed his name from Reggie to Charlie Wheel in my own testimony. I call him by his first name, Charlie, and I call him Charlie Wheel. And somebody asked me one day, why do you call Reggie Charlie Wheel? I said, listen, when I knew Reggie before he was a Christian, somebody say, who wants to take a crowd to the beer joint tonight? Somebody say, Charlie Will. Who wants to play poker and gamble tonight? Charlie Will. Anything that came up that was vice or skirting on being legal or illegal, Reggie was known that he will. And now, after he come to know Jesus Christ, I'm telling you by my testimony that whenever somebody says, who will pray for those people? Somebody say, Charlie will. Who will give a love offering to help that family? Charlie will. Who will study and interpret the word? Who will do those things and teach the word of God? Charlie will. That's how it came up to be. I always called him Willie or Charlie will, and he knew what I was talking about. quite a change in the man. Let me finish the story. After the shift change came and Reggie was going everywhere telling everyone about him being saved. And let me tell you something. If Jesus Christ ever comes into your heart, saving like this preacher priest, like I'm testifying to you that must happen, if you come to know Jesus Christ, he changes the life. He puts a new life within. He don't destroy the old. The old man's with us till we die. But he puts a new nature within us. And that nature lives and it stays with us. And when we sin, oh, how many times I've seen Brother Reggie grieve over a sin or over some weakness of his own that he had yielded to. And he was so sorrowful. And I'm telling you, that same hidden man that's within him that grieved him over sin, if you belong to Jesus Christ, that same hidden man will grieve you too.
Sure will.
But after the shift change, we got in our little carpool. Now, I know I'm getting old because there were five of us in the carpool, and I'm now today, because he's gone, I'm the last one in that carpool living. No one said a word. Thought I was in church. I sat in the front seat between the driver and the passenger, and no one would say a word. Reggie was weeping profusely, saying, "Brother Tim, why me? Why me? Why would Jesus Christ save someone like me?" And I'd look in the rearview mirror and look at those guys seated in the back seat, and they were pale as a ghost. God was there. When we got home, got to the place where we all met, and that was at his house, and the men got out and got in their cars and went their way. Brother Reggie asked and said, "Brother Tim, would you go in with me to tell my wife, Juanita, what has happened?" You remember that, Juanita? I'd never been in there, and I was still bewildered. We went in, and inside the house was Juanita, Carol, his sister, and his mother. And Juanita looked up and saw that there was something about him. And she said, "Reggie." And his eyes was red, and he still had tears, and I won't talk about how his nose looked. He was in a broken way. And I remember very well, as if it was today, Juanita said, "Reggie, what's the matter? What happened?" And he said this. He said, "Juanita, a man came to see me on the job today." And she got excited and scared because she thought that he had done something wrong and somebody come to get him. He said, "A man came to me on the job today." And she said, "Who was it, Reggie?" And he blurted out with tears and joy, and he said, "Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God." And pandemonium broke out again in that house. That's what I saw. And he asked me, as he took me home and asked me to come in to tell, I asked him, "Would you come in and tell my family what happened to you?" And he said, "I want to tell everybody." And he came in, and he propped up weeping on my fireplace mantle, and he wept and told us about Jesus Christ saving him, and told my family. And when he left, he turned and asked me this: "Why would Jesus Christ save someone like me?" Now, I was there. I saw it. And it was as this brother priest, it's just like he said, it didn't just a one-time incident and it quits. But what God does when he saves, he keeps it going. He keeps it alive. And Brother Reggie got saved 40 years ago. And ups and downs in the valleys, he had some hard times, difficult times, had tribulations, had tough times. He stayed in the race. He stayed with the Lord Jesus Christ. Quite a preacher. When I wanted to know something after Reggie had been saved a while, when I wanted to know something about scriptures, Reggie would take me into his study with all of his friends. His friends were the books of the Puritans and the old Baptists and the old Southern Baptists and all those who were solid in the Word. Reggie's got a wall-to-wall with books. And he'd take me in there with who he called his friends, and he'd open those books and we'd study and we'd get the real interpretation of a verse of Scripture. So over the years, both Reggie and I have shared and rejoiced over a portion of God's Word many a time. And I want to share with it with you right quickly. what we used to rejoice so much over, even as much up until the last couple of weeks ago. We've rejoiced over this verse of Scripture. It's in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. Listen to these words. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in the hand. He saw heaven. John saw people in heaven. Listen to this. And cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb Jesus Christ. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these, or who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. John didn't know how to answer this. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. John saw a vision. He saw the people of God in heaven in a great multitude. Whatever it is, however you interpret it, that's what he saw. And the elder asked John, said, Do you know who these people are, arrayed in white robes with palm leaves in their hands, rejoicing around the throne of God, praising God for his salvation? Do you know who these are? He didn't have a clue. John said, Thou knowest who are they. And he said, These are they which came out of great tribulation. Let me tell you something. If you know Jesus Christ, you know what tribulation is. If you know Jesus Christ, you know that we enter into the kingdom of God through much tribulation. We have problems. We have troubles. We're tested and tried by our Lord. He said, These are they which came out of great tribulation. And then the question comes, how did they get to heaven? This is the most important part of this. How did these people get to heaven? How would you get to heaven? John foresaw this great multitude. How did they get there? What qualified them? He said, These, sir, thou knowest, he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes. That means a personal righteousness. Yes. He said, These people have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Yes. What he says was the qualification to be in heaven was this. That somewhere, sometime, a person must bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe all about the Lord Jesus that the Bible talks about him or tells us about him, and receive him as Lord and Savior. And that in way is an understanding to understand what when a man believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, God washes away our sins with the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. And he said, These are they which took time out. I'm paraphrasing. These are people who took a moment, a time, a place in their life, and they bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus and received him as Lord and Savior. And John describes it as washing their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. People are in heaven only because Jesus Christ has suffered, bled, and died. The only cleansing agent for sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. Faith must be in the Lord Jesus Christ. He must be believed, and he must be received, and he must be followed. When Reggie would ask me how to be saved, I'd tell him, Brother Reggie, the best way I know how is to tell you what your responsibility is to repent of your sins and turn and follow Jesus. That's what being a Christian is believing and receiving him and taking up your cross daily and following him. I find that to be over and over in the Scriptures. Brother Reggie, the reason this was such a blessed verse to us between the two of us over so many years was we were both guilty of all manner of sin. And we find out that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all manner of sin. All sin. Sure. And Reggie, when he first got saved, used to say this, Brother Tim, that crowd I read about, they're rejoicing. I want to get up there and lead the shouting. But as the years went by, he and I both came to this testimony. I just want to be in that crowd.
Sure.
I don't care about recognition. I don't care about being a big I, a little you.
No.
I just want to be in that crowd. And then we would both rejoice because we knew by the grace of God what the Lord Jesus Christ had done for us, that He had washed our sins away through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. We rejoice in that. Let me read you a few verses of Scripture I wrote down right quickly. I told Brother Reggie that when this hour came, I'd want to lift up and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to these words. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 and 9 says this: "But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Being much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." Ephesians 1 and 7 says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace." Ephesians 2:13, "Now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometime afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Colossians 1:14, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, "For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." I'm going to do like Brother Reggie. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Hebrews 9:22, "Without the shedding of blood is no remission." 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin," all manner of sin. Revelation chapter 1 and 5 says, "Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." Revelation 5:9, "For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation." And finally, Revelation chapter 7 and verse 14, "And they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." If you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, brethren, you cherish the blood. You adore the blood. You know that the only hope of your salvation and sins being forgiven is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's the price God demanded. That's the price Jesus paid. He redeemed us and He bought us. I'm like you, Brother Barrett. I've done what He's asked me to do. I want to tell men about Jesus Christ. I want to tell you how Reggie come to, from my perspective, how Reggie came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. The wonderful thing about Reggie's conversion is when he went in to tell his wife about being saved, she shared with us that the Lord had already saved her sometime beforehand. You remember that one? Remember it well. And as a result, how God uses people as means. I would say all in that carpool knew the Lord. There's some men here that know the Lord because of that man's testimony. God used him. When Jesus Christ is lifted up and honored, He'll draw all kinds of men unto Him. And He drew our dear brother to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. What a character. We're going to miss this man. Some of you are going to miss him because he prayed for you. You probably don't even know it.
Yeah.
That man prayed for people by name. He was a praying man. He was a preaching man. He was quite a loving man. Mm-hmm. Let's pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. And God, we do thank You for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We do thank You, dear God, that is our hope. That is where we take refuge. Lord, we lay hope in the great work of Calvary. And Lord, we pray now as we depart here to go to the cemetery. We ask You to be with Juanita and the family and the sisters. Lord, all the family, we ask You to give them comfort and grace. Give me comfort, Brother Barrett and others, Lord, that love this man dearly. God, we look to You for Your great grace and mercy.
Yes.
Now, Lord, get glory and honor to Your great name through this service. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.